Jack Marta, Calumet, Michigan, May 29th, 1982.
The Italian lodges that were here over the years, there was the Giuseppe Giusti Lodge. That was organized by the Toscanos. They were the people from Lucca. Then there was the Carlo Borta Lodge, the Christopher Columbus
Lodge. Now, who organized the Carlo Borta Lodge?
I don't know. You see, from these little towns where they come from, Piemonte, like those from St. George, they had their own. Those from San Giovanni had their own. They would organize them. Those from Pranzolito, they would organize. And they accepted anybody in the lodges. They didn't just restrict them to the area they came from.
Oh, I see.
Because I mentioned it to Doc. There was more than two or three lodges. He said, there was. I said, oh, yes. So then there was the Christopher Columbus, the Lega Cittadina. That would be the Citizens League. Then there was the Ettore Perona Lodge.
Do you know anything about that one? Do you know anything about that one?
I only know that it was organized. The Garibaldi Lodge, that was for married and single men. But the Garibaldini, that was only for single men. I belonged to that. La San Martina, that's from my folks' area. That's eight men's lodges that were here in Calumet. Then there was a ladies' lodge that was either called the Daughters of Romulus or Romulo. My mother was one of the organizers of that.
Oh.
That takes care of the lodges.
Now, do you know anything else about the Romulus one?
I know they used to give a dance once a year up at the Italian Lodge Hall, the Italian Hall. And I had a hall up two registers for the stands that they had. And that usually took place, started on a Saturday afternoon and lasted till 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. And they were active in other activities, but I'm going back now when I was 16, 17 years old. It's a long time ago. It's over 70 years.
You remember some of the things they were into? You remember some of the things that they were into?
Well, I think that one time they helped put on operas up there. Now, all of these, I called different people that I knew that were from these areas, and I asked them. Some of these names came to me at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd wake up, and I'd get up and make a note.
Oh.
Some of them I just have the first name. Some I just had the last name. Uh-huh. But I have friends all over the UP. I never made any long-distance calls, but calls in the Keweenaw County and Houghton County, several of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this material, and I know that they're correct.
Okay.
Then I have here, you asked me the other day about fires, if there was anything outstanding. There was the Arlington Hotel fire that I attended. I was with the Lauren Company, and there was a Joe Milio, an Italian, that belonged to the Red Jacket Fire Department, that was killed at that fire. And Charlie Ryan lost a leg at that fire. Then there was, of course, the Bonton was a big fire in Loyal. And that was a three-story sandstone building. It was even bigger than ours. It was a longer building. And that fire, after that fire, they knocked the walls down. They only built one story after that. And I don't know if you took any pictures over there. The Riquetta Saloon, I haven't been able to find out. I questioned some of the second generation. They don't remember that the Riquetta Saloon, if that was built by the Riquetta people or they bought it. But they did build the three-story sandstone building and the three-story horse stables that they had there. Of course, that was cut down during the Depression to a one-story garage.
Oh.
Then I have here, I don't know if this is material is worth anything. There's a Guarino Martini. He built a building up on North Fifth Street, and he had a liquor cellar. He sold liquor wholesale. And he had the liquor barrels on stands. I remember that distinctly. He was from Lucca, very close friend of my dad and mom's. Then there's Vincent Sviro. He established a soda pop place in Lorien, down on North Florida Street. Then there was a Jimmy Capello that had a horse-drawn merry-go-round down there near where Mary Tenetti lives. Those things I remember distinctly.
And what he would do, what would he do, run it in the summertime?
Yep. Then about the consular agents, I dug up a couple of more. But they weren't here in Calumet, but they done the work for the Calumet. After James Lisa, there was Attilio Castigliano. And from here he went on to Duluth or Superior. I'm pretty sure it was, I think it was Duluth. At that time, the Iron Range was going big and a lot of Italians were up there. After him, in Hancock, 50 years ago, and then later on, there was a Mr. Aurelia, spelled O-R-E-L-L-I-A. Then there was a Joe Minardi Sr. That's spelled M-E-I-N-A-R-D-I. I took people in there that had to have legal papers made, and he was doing the work. After he died, his son continued, Junior.
And that was in Hancock? He was in Hancock?
Yeah, he lived in Hancock. He's dead too now. They lived on Quincy Street there. I knew where their place was there. Mr. Aurelia worked at the bank at the time that I knew him. He was a good friend of my mother's too. Then there was Poggioni Brothers. They were wine merchants. They used to get wine in from California and sell it by the barrels to the boarders in these big boarding houses, or the boarding missus, and she sold it to the boarders, like they done with the beer.
Mm-hmm.
See, the boarding missus would buy the beer for a dollar a case, 12 quarts. She would sell it to the boarders for 20, 25 cents a quart.
Now, how do you spell that last fellow's name?
Poggioni?
Yeah.
P-O W-G-I-O-N-E. They were up in what they called Helltown at the time. It's Coburn Town, but that's in the Quincy location. That's where the Quincy mines are, up there on top of the hill. Then I have here, I don't know if this, if you're interested in this, you know, we had an outstanding band here, the C&H. That was quite a band. They traveled different places in the United States. There were several Italians in that. But before that, there was a Paul Tomei. He was the organizer and the leader of the Red Jacket City Band. That was back when I was, well, I used to dance to his music when I was 18, 19, 20 years old. That is spelled T-O-M-E-I. And there was a band in Mohawk too, but they were Italian, but I can't remember who organized it or who was the leader of it. I tried to get information on that, but I couldn't. Then there was the Tony Rolando Orchestra. He organized an orchestra with members of his family. And they were a very good orchestra. That was organized. Well, Tony was older than I was. He later on he had a butcher shop. Now, I don't know if there's anything else.
No, that's great.
But if I think of anything that I think is worthwhile, I will...
Okay, I did have, after I got done, I did have some questions for you.
What's that?
About, I had some questions for you about the bakery. Could you give me, what was the schedule for operating the bakery? Like, when would you start work, and what trucks go out, and how did you operate the bakery?
My dad organized his shop. He came here from Miganigou to work for the Bracco Bakery in 1893, in the spring. And there was no homes available at the time, so my mother stayed in Negaunee until August. Then she came up here, and there was a house available. There's two doors from the Bracco Bakery. And it was a double house, and my dad rented half that house, and my mother came up. There was three older than I was, and I was born in September. Then in 94, he opened his shop in Loriam. I'm going to see if I got that on here. I made a notation of it. Oh. Now, I don't know if this material is going to be of any use to you. This is stuff that I found. This is when my mother was honored at the American Bakers Association.
No.
In 47. Now, my dad opened his shop at 324 Heckla Street. And in 1900, he bought the property across the road. And he built that sandstone, they moved the house back and they built that sandstone building. Now, those are, when we had our golden anniversary, I think on the back of this I've got it written. When we had our 50th anniversary, that was in 44. That was our sales room display.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know where the baker shop pictures are, but it was all modern equipment in there. We had put in $12,000 worth of equipment. Those cakes were all written up in the American Baker's magazines. Mm. They were prize winners. We had our day foreman, probably by the name of Leonard Johnson.
Oh, he was the fellow that was...
Oh, he was a crackerjack.
Hmm.
Now, here's our identification card. We'll go ahead with that while you're... some of the salesmen helped my wife to get that display in the sales room. We registered 800 people between 5 and 8 o'clock that night when we had our 50th anniversary at our baker shop.
Mm-hmm. These are good. Now, yeah, like these two, you can thank borrow them.
Belong to the American Bakers Association and also the Wisconsin Bakers Association. If you want to look at that material, this is all pertaining to that. When we took my mother down to
Could you tell us something about your work schedule in the bakery?
Well,
what time did you start baking bread?
Well, at that time we used to start when my brother and I took it over, we used to start at 3 o'clock in the morning. And we had a helper, and then after dinner, we would both go on our routes.
Okay, now what did you make in the morning then?
Well, at that time, we were only making crusty bread and breadsticks and torchettis. And then my wife and I took over the baker shop. We moved upstairs, and we expanded, and we were running two shifts, a day and night shift. And eventually I got off of the routes. It was too much for my wife to handle, you know, with these salesmen coming in. And we were expanding so fast, so we had two shifts on. But before that, it was all handwork, no machines. We put in $12,000 worth of equipment when we moved upstairs.
Now, that was what year?
Huh?
What year was that?
Oh, that would be, let's see, when our son was born. Right after. He was 4 or 5 years old.
32 then?
Yeah, well, that would be, well, Jack is 50 the next in July. So we had the last 35 years our own. My mother was still dabbling in there because we hadn't paid her off all everything at that time. But we were putting her all paid off to her, getting on our own. And but the last 35 years, the business, see, the business was about 60 years old altogether. My mother had it, and my dad started it in 94. My dad died in 1909. 10 years after that, about the first 25 years, my mother was very active in it. And then my wife and I took it over, and she'd come in there, you know. She always had the salesman go on the house, especially after we took her to Chicago. My God, when she went up to get her award and her name was announced, these 8 or 10 salesmen who were there, they were from Chicago, Milwaukee. They heard her name called. They looked to see where we were seated. See, the tables were set for 10 people there. And you always sat in the same place and the same chair. And you always had the same people at your table. So there was 5 of us, and there was 3 guys from Detroit, and there was 2 guys from Chicago at our table. We introduced each other, and we got along. Well, those fellows in the morning, they came down with a hangover. They'd have steak and potatoes for breakfast. Grandma say, how can they eat that? And Father Flanagan from Boys Town was one of the main speakers. They gave him, the association gave him $10,000 to set up a bakery for the boys at Boys Town in Nebraska, in Omaha. Mm-hmm. That was quite an occasion for my mother. So, and she made the most of it. And these salesmen, when they heard her name called, they come rushing over to our table to greet her. Yeah, she had my sisters used to put her to bed every afternoon. So she was active for the night programs that they had. They had something doing all the time there. Yeah.
Now, were there other bakeries in the area here, Italian bakeries?
Oh, sure.
At that time?
The Brocco Bakery, I finally bought them out. But it wasn't owned by the Brocco people anymore. It was going by the name Brocco Bakery. Then there was the Triano Bakery. That was just a block from us. There were a lot of Italians here then.
Mm-hmm.
Little Salt Range up there. They had 3 bakers up there. Toscano, Simonetti, I can't think of the other. But they had lodges up there. They're still active. Probably Gino Lucchese. Mm-hmm. I was talking to him the other day. He could tell you about them. I think one was called the Sons of Italy, and the and they have an auxiliary that's very active.
The daughters.
I think it's called the Daughters of Italy. I know some of the officers. We covered all that territory with our trucks. We covered everything from Beacon Hill to Copper Harbor, over to Chassel, Painesdale, Salt Range, and we shipped out of here.
Oh.
We shipped breadsticks to Maine. We shipped breadsticks to the hotel at Escanaba.
Luddington?
Hmm?
The House of Luddington?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. House of Luddington.
Uh-huh.
We used to have our Wisconsin Bakers Association that formed Area 5. That was the UP. You see, the downstate organizations didn't have no time for us and never tried to organize us. But the Wisconsin Bakers Association come up here and formed what they call Area 5. And they used to have a meeting here every month. The officers would come up from Milwaukee, and we'd have a meeting in Escanaba, we'd have a meeting at Sioux, we'd have a meeting in Hancock, we'd have a meeting in Calumet. It was always someplace else. Down at the Sioux or Ishpeming. And my wife and I went to all of them. It was something that was a lot of help to you. Mm-hmm. And we would take, there was only two of us that belonged to it from up here. But we would take other members down with us, like Cap Shire and his wife from Lake Linden. We'd take them down with us and stay overnight if we were far away. If we were just Ishpeming or Negaunee or Marquette, well, we'd come home that night. But if it was like Escanaba or the Sioux, we'd stay overnight. It was worthwhile going to those affairs. There were a lot of help, especially during the war, especially the Second World War. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if there's anything more I can add.
No, that was good.
Yeah. Borgie, B-O-R-G-I-E-O-Y. He had a son who went to school with me.
Oh.
And he was a salesman. The son was a salesman for a packing company that had a branch in Calumet and one in Houghton. I think it was Plankington. And then they sent him to Marquette. And he was there for years. And I know I met him there at different times when I was down in the iron country for bakery business, or I was down there for firemen's tournaments, because I belonged to the volunteer company in Loyum for 35, 40 years, and I went to all the tournaments. And his dad, I forget what his name was, the first name, he was the organizer of that. And they put on plays. I'm pretty sure they put on plays with local talent, you know. And I just can't remember too many details, but I can try to contact people. I'll look in my notes.